Okay, good evening. Welcome. So I wanted to talk a little bit about an internal battle that I've really thought about my whole life. Maybe a battle is too strong of a word, but sort of a internal wondering, and there's sort of a ditch on both sides of the road here, and it's something that I've kind of considered and wondered, and am I too far on one side, or am I too far on the other side, or am I right where I need to be? And that's good. And if you are, then that's good. But if you're not, maybe consider some of the things here. And it has to do with the idea of faith versus works, and what Jesus considers and what he is looking for us here, both here in this world and for our passing into eternity. So I'm going to start by reading a passage in Luke, but just to set that up a little bit, I guess just the background, some of the kids can help a little bit with this. So Connor, I guess for starters, do you know why we're here today? What are we remembering today? Yes, very good. Will, do you know what the name of the mountain was where they were crucified him? Travis, do you know? We went over this yesterday. Calvary. Mommy. All right. Tucker, do you know how many crosses there were?
Three.
Yes, very good. Now, Hannah, who was crucified in the middle one? And who were the two people on the other side of him? Yeah, there were two thieves or two robbers. And that's the passage we're going to read a little bit here. Now that I've kind of set up the background here a little bit, I'm going to read from Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. And that sort of takes place on this mountain here while they're on the cross, and that's sort of the background to this. Then one of the criminals, Hannah mentioned, one of the thieves, who hanged, blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, you will be with me in heaven in eternity." So this robber or this thief or whatever we want to call him, he has faith. He believed. He was saved by grace and grace alone. You could say he cut things pretty close. There was not much time left, but he was saved. And Jesus gives us that assurance that he was with him in paradise. So we know that for a fact. He didn't have time to really focus on works. There was no old widows to help, no Sunday schools to teach, no tithes or offerings, money to give, puppies to rescue from burning buildings. I mean, there was nothing. It was purely grace alone. There was nothing that he did to earn that eternity with Christ. And I think that theme is consistent with other verses that we see in Scripture. And there's two fairly well-known ones I'll read here quick. And this is the first one is sort of what has gotten me thinking about this topic because I've considered this verse a lot. It says Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And then again in Titus 3, 5, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy and renewal of the Holy Spirit." So it would seem that these verses are consistent with what Jesus told that thief on the cross there that night, that he was saved by grace alone and through nothing that he did, obviously nothing that he did. And I think that the thief sort of proved that there is no good work I can do or need to do, for that matter, to secure a place in heaven. He didn't have time. It was simply a matter of faith and repentance and acceptance on his part and on God's part of mercy, grace, and forgiveness. The debt had been paid for his sin. So with that in mind, very few of us are going to spend our last few minutes hanging on a cross confessing God as our Lord and Savior and asking for his forgiveness for our sins. And in fact, many of us will walk with the Lord a long time on this earth. I was thinking back to the baptism we had last year, and I was kind of, I didn't think of this at the time, but I think I was the oldest person there to get baptized by quite a bit. I'm trying to remember who all was there, but I think I was. Okay. Nevertheless, there are some people that were baptized last week that theoretically could walk with the Lord another 80 years on this earth, I was thinking, very possibly. I will not. I will be long gone in 80 years. But some of you will have a long time yet to live out that faith and that profession that you made that day. So that kind of raises for me this natural question comes up. And earlier I started out by saying battle, and battle is maybe too strong of a word here, but it's definitely a question that rises for me is, does it even really matter how hard I work at serving God and how hard I work or how hard I try to live a holy life, knowing that my works won't save me? I can't work my way to heaven. I can't get there under my own power. I can't be good enough to get there on my own. So while I'm here on this earth, how critical is it really that I tried to be good, I guess I could say. And that thought is further promoted by some certain verses you could kind of cherry pick out. One, for example, would be in Isaiah 64:6 that mentions that our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God. And that would seem to imply that maybe our good deeds don't really matter. God can alone can save us, and he has saved us, and we are forgiven. And I mean, I kind of know that I need to avoid blatant, open, rebellious sin, but I get baptized, I catch a few church services a year, toss a few dollars in the plate. Does the rest really matter that much, knowing that I can't accomplish it on my own anyway? And that line of thought can lead to discouragement eventually, but what it also does and what tempts that line of thought is sort of, it can promote a little bit of laziness and comfort and ease, because it's tempting for us to have this view that I don't really need to do that much. God did it all. And it's a very comfortable thought to have because it takes a lot of the burden off of us, and it really puts no burden on us. And it's easy. We could just say that I'm a holy Christian. God did it all. I don't need to do anything. And I can sort of live the way I would like to live. But I, for one, I guess I'll start with this here. It says, it's often one hardship or one generation away from extinction with this type of Christianity. We can very easily get too comfortable, and then we face a hardship or something challenging comes up. Or our kids see us walk this way and realize it's not really that serious, or we're not that committed. And then it fades away very quickly from there. And the word has often used is lukewarm. God is not looking for lukewarm Christians. In fact, there's a verse about that, or a warning about that, in Revelations 3. It says, I know your works, you are neither cold nor hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So there's a rather sober warning there about lukewarm Christians that sort of have this attitude that I can be comfortable and God has done his work and I don't need to do anything. Now, the truth, I think, is somewhere a little bit different, and I want to kind of explore the other side of that a little bit, and then we'll draw some concluding thoughts from that. So my thought is that walking with the Lord does, in fact, require work and sacrifice on our part. Works should, and I would say must, be a part of our salvation and our walk with the Lord. And two familiar verses that I'll read that go along with that, in James 2:14-17, which I think we all know probably, says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And then in James 2:26 says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So I guess some thoughts I have on those two verses. If you are not working for the Lord as you walk with him, then I think it's fair to say you're not really walking with him. If we were to take those verses sort of as what they seem to imply. If there is no work for the Lord, then you aren't really walking with the Lord. If there is no outward evidence of your walk with the Lord, then I would say, are you really walking with him? Would be a fair question to ask. So that's, as you can see, there's kind of this internal dilemma can quickly arise within a believer between faith and works. And different denominations have sort of tried to emphasize or capitalize on this and have pushed one or the other and built sort of the foundation of their theology on one or the other, depending on which way you want to go. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this and contemplating it, and that's sort of what triggered this topic here tonight. And so I would say I kind of came up with a summarizing thought that if you forget everything else that I said tonight, if you can remember this one sentence, I think does a good job of capturing what I want to convey. And it says, the Bible teaches that works are a necessary, I would underline necessary, evidence, but not the cause of our salvation. So I'll say it again. Works are a necessary evidence, meaning they should be works, and they are required for us to be walking with the Lord. But if it moves into the cause of our salvation, then we've gotten into the wrong place at that point, because as we read earlier, works can never save us. And as long as we keep those two in the order that they should be, I think we can be in a very good place. Believers are saved by grace through faith alone, Ephesians 2:8-9, that was the verse we read. And so oftentimes we don't read the verse right after that. We read Ephesians 2:8-9, and then if you read one more verse, verse 10, says, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for them to do. So that was kind of a wow moment for me. I mean, it's not really anything monumental, but I had oftentimes just read those first two verses, and I didn't realize that verse 10 was directly after that and what it said. So that's kind of how I came up with this thesis statement here, that works are necessary evidence, but not the cause of our salvation. So with that in mind, I think it would be appropriate to do a little self-reflection and maybe consider what side you fall on here. And now, obviously, this is probably something between you and the Lord only, because it has to do with motivation and mindset and attitude. The actions often are difficult to decipher what they're motivated by. And who can read the heart?
No one.
That, yes. So now I have another reminder or question for the kids. You remember way back from the very first kid's story, what was the lesson that we learned from that? It was the very first lesson of David. No, I'm sorry, I misspoke. David. When we started David, long, long time ago, it's probably 5 months ago, 4 months ago, what was the first lesson that day? Yeah, but what was the lesson from the story? Yes, exactly. That's the point I just made. Man looks at the outside. We can judge the actions, but it's very hard for us to see the motivation. Only man looks at the outside, but God looks at the heart. So that's really what this comes down to, is God looks at the heart, and he will know what you are motivated by. And is your good works motivated by self-interest or by trying to achieve the goal on your own? Or are your good works truly a result of your walk with the Lord? And that's something that really only God can know. But back to this back to the two questions here I wanted to kind of use for reflection. So number one, do you find yourself believing that you are saved by grace alone, not through works? So therefore, what I do and how hard I try to serve God is not really that big of a deal, because it doesn't really matter anyway. Jesus saves, nothing else I do matters. I don't need to worry about my life and have some fun. So if you think that's you, or maybe you skew that direction a little bit, I would say you're playing a risky game, my friend, and the stakes could not be higher. I think it's even possible that you could have a fairly close personal walk with the Lord. You might be in your Bible daily, but that walk is not translating into actions. When we take the mindset that God does it all and nothing is required of us, it often leads down the path of how little can I do and still be saved? Because we believe that God has done all, paid the price. And then what naturally follows from there is what's the bare minimum I can do and still skate by? And that is certainly not where we want to be. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." If you know what God is seeking from you and you actively choose to ignore it or choose not to do it or choose not to make it a part of your life, I think that verse would imply that the forgiveness of sins does not apply to you. It's a sobering thought, but I think, that verse is there. Now, if you find yourself on the second part of that, where you might say, I know only Jesus can save, but this whole faith and trust and forgiveness thing and something I can't see is a little strange, and I maybe lack the faith to truly believe that God did everything. I feel like I need to do something to kind of help God along, and there's a lot of bad people out there, and I'm a lot better than they are, and surely that must count for something. And seems like God let the crooked thief in, so if as long as I'm better than him, I think he'll probably let me in as long as I do the right thing. Now, if you find yourself more along that line of thinking, chances are you're living a pretty disciplined life. You're probably doing what's right. You're probably making good moral choices, good life choices. But what is lacking in that? Ultimately, I think what's lacking is sort of that childlike faith that Jesus talks about, that personal relationship that takes joy and comfort in the fact that he alone can save us. And that even with our best works and our most noble deeds, in all honesty, we really are no better off than that thief on the cross that night. We have just as much chance of getting to heaven on our own as he does, even though we probably haven't done many of the things that he has done. Our chances are equal without God's forgiveness and God's saving. So I would say to you guys, take comfort and trust in God's ability to save us and to rest in that. Oftentimes our striving and our desire to do good works can very sometimes be that obstacle that prevents us from getting closer to God and having that simple childlike faith and trust in him, because we feel like we somehow need to pick up the slack that God left and do it on our own. So I guess I leave you with that. Consider which side your life might skew towards. Do you lean more towards that lazy complacency and neglecting works and thinking don't matter? Or do you lean more towards trying to help God earn your way to salvation and feel like, you know, he maybe can't do it on his own. I need to be good in order to for him to let me in. Maybe neither. Maybe you have the ideal balance and you've got it figured out, and that is good. Praise the Lord. But this is something that I wonder about sometimes, and so I hope that's encouraging to you guys. Lord, we thank you for the work that you did that night on the cross, and we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins and the freedom that we have in that. And I pray that as we go forth, we would go forth in humbleness, knowing that on our own we truly are no better off than that thief on the cross, that there is nothing that we can do, and we are no better than our fellow man who our actions make us no better. There's nothing that we can do to put us on top of ahead of someone else. That we are all equal under you. But at the same time, I also pray that we would remember that because you have saved us, because we've been forgiven, because we are walking with you, that we would not take that lightly, but we would go forth and live a life that is honoring you, and a life that is obedient, and a life that seeks righteousness and seeks goodness. that there would be evidence of our walk with you, that it would not be a lukewarm walk, but it would be obvious to those around us that we are walking and serving you as Lord and Master of our life. And we thank you for the service and the people gathered here today. And we thank you for Easter and the coming and the resurrection that happened 2 days after this. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.